This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Welcome to Cannabis Talk A to Z, an educational odyssey, with your host, Frankie Boyer.
And we are going to be educated today because she is known as the most powerful woman in cannabis. Her new book is out. She co-authored it. We'll talk about everything that we possibly can about waiting to inhale cannabis legislation and the fight for racial justice. And we welcome this extraordinary woman who is absolutely going to blow you away with what has happened in our country and in the world with cannabis. And Tahera, welcome to the program. It's so nice to have you with us today.
Thank you so much. It's great to be here.
You're the CEO of Commons. You are so involved in the cannabis world, the Last Prison Project. We could go on and on. In your book, and I want to start with this. In your book, you state that the war on drugs is one of the worst social and political failures in the nation's history.
That's right. That's right. We, in going through the history of what has happened with cannabis and how that's impacted populations, you keep uncovering more about how it's really failed society more than anything, than benefiting it. The initial reasonings behind it as well were not necessarily as clean cut as many of us would imagine, and really became a war against minority populations, not the drugs themselves that were potentially harming communities, but the populations that were being targeted in order to really control different segments of the population. And so what we talk about throughout the book is just how that has really come to be, which for so many people is unknown. I mean, it was unknown for me as a child of the 80s who is part of Just Say No and, Nancy Reagan's campaign against that, and really feeling like that made the most sense. But over time, as I was able to learn more, you just uncover really how it was utilized as a weapon. And the effects of that are felt throughout communities today and will continue to be that way until we finally change it.
Tell us the behind the scenes of this book.
Yeah, so Kwasi and I, who's my co-author, we met several years ago, actually in 2018, at a conference at McGill University that was more about the policy around cannabis, both in Canada and in the U.S. And really we didn't know each other. We came at it really from different angles. Kwasi is a professor at the University of Toronto. He spent a lot of time in the research world and policy world. And my experience is really on the business side. I've come into the industry in 2014 and have been in different business endeavor since then. And so what we realized that we really circled around was how, both on the policy side and on the business side, that the racial inequities were very clear. And just over time, we developed a friendship, started talking more about the gap in information that really existed there, and wanting to really highlight that on how do we let more people understand this, help them understand it, and hopefully that would lead to more opportunities to engage more people and, make this more of a front and center topic. And so it was a project that came together over time. Initially Kwasi had thought about writing a book and then asked me to write a chapter in it. And then it evolved to us co-writing it and really wanting to focus not only on the history of how we got here today, but also on actual stories of people who have been impacted by the war on drugs, both from those who've served time, those who are now out of prison, those who are out of prison and now engaging in this new legal cannabis industry. So really wanting to focus on real people who have gone through this experience so people can understand what is really happening out there. I think we kind of generalize it in a way, and there are no names or faces, and we really wanted to engage with those people.
So ironically, today there was some breaking news about alcohol and that it really isn't good for your health. And even they're saying now that even moderate drinking is no longer good for you. It was a big study, a meta study, which means they took hundreds of studies and looked at all the data and said alcohol is no longer good for your health. And this is going to be quite the shock to the wine industry and a lot of other industries that are connected to alcohol. And I'm just curious, with this breaking news, do you think it will have any impact on the cannabis world?
Well, I think it's already started to have an impact in certain locations. You know, there's a phrase known as California sober, which people often use, that they are no longer consuming alcohol, but they're consuming cannabis and other plant-based products.
Yes.
You know, expanding other things like psilocybin. And so I think that trend has already started in some areas where there is more availability around cannabis products and perhaps more education around the pros and cons. But I do think that there has been this kind of waiting potential for a broader based study or story that can help more people understand what alcohol can do to you. And I think that's just been something that's growing over time. And, you know, I'm sure the study reveals quite a bit, but it's also not a secret that alcohol does have a negative impact. And
yes,
what cannabis has shown over time is that it's actually had some very clear positive impacts on people with a range of ailments. And what we would like more, those of us in the industry and advocates, want more research. All we want are clinical studies with a diverse range of subjects so we can actually understand the shorter term and the long term effects of cannabis, because we don't have that information and we can't get that because of federal illegality.
So the federal legalities are so big. Go back, if you wouldn't mind, and let's talk about, do you think we will see, or how do you see it unfolding in the next few years? Are we going to see legalization in every state, or is it still going to be, it will be nationwide, or do you think it will continue to be state by state?
I think my opinion is that it will continue to roll out on a state by state basis. And, you know, we're already seeing well beyond 50% of the country has some form of legalization, be it a medical program, a recreational program, or both. And so I think it'll continue on that path. You know, at the federal level, there just seems to be a lot of roadblocks to get us to their other priorities, which are, understand there's a lot going on that needs to be dealt with outside of cannabis. So my view is that it will continue on the state-by-state basis, and I don't think that we'll see federal policy in the next few years, maybe more in the 5 to 10 range. But that's not stopping the state-by-state legality. The challenges with that, though, is that we're still struggling when it comes to, you know, investing, being able to have cross-border activity, banking. Those issues still remain a big problem for the industry, which creates risk. And those things will really only be resolved with federal legalization. But even before that, if there's just more policy that are specifically addressing those elements, you know, like banking alone has continued to be a problem because most multinational banks won't bank cannabis businesses because of that federal illegality component, even if that business is completely following the rules of the state that it's in. So those things continue to be challenges.
Is this a Republican, a Democrat, a Libertarian? Who has the best view on the industry?
What's interesting is that it's really a bipartisan issue. On one side, when you think about it from more of the, you know, libertarian or democratic lens, it's the right to use certain products for health and wellness. It's a social issue, particularly when you think of the racial injustices that have come to light because of imprisonment due to cannabis, and particularly thinking about the issues around imprisonment for those people who are still sitting in jail for what is now legal, because it wasn't.
So,
you know,
it's so bizarre. I know. We have to talk about that, and when we come back from break, we will. We're joined today by Tahira Rahma Tula. Her new book is out. She co-authored it. It is called Waiting to Inhale, Cannabis Legislation. We have a lot to cover today. We'll be back in just a moment. What's the best website, please?
The best website is mitpress.mit.edu, and you can search for Waiting to Inhale.
We'll be right back. This is Frankie Boyer, Cannabis Talk A to Z, an educational odyssey.
Have you ever met a single person in your life that enjoys paying taxes? No, no one does. If you can't sleep at night because you have a huge problem with the IRS, I've got some free advice for you. This service is strictly limited to individuals that owe the IRS $10,000 or more in back taxes. And if you qualify, we can guarantee that you won't be writing a big fat check to the IRS, or our services cost you nothing. The first 100 people that call today will get a free tax consultation worth $500. Stop worrying about your IRS problem. We can help you, we promise. Call the tax doctor right now. I mean right now to learn more.
800-985-1610. 800-985-1610. 800-985-1610. That's 800-985-1610.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
I need more time to file my taxes. Help!
On IRS.gov, you can use IRS Free File to get 6 more months. Or, you can submit IRS Form 4868 by the April deadline. If you owe taxes, you can make an electronic payment and get a filing extension with no need to submit Form 4868. Go to IRS.gov for details. But remember, an extension of time to file is not an extension of time to pay what you owe.
If you love them enough to turn off your music and pretend like their music is your music.
Ah, this is Mommy's jam.
Then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're in the right car seat.
Let's play it again.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ag Council.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy, formerly Air Force Lieutenant Colonel, Air National Guard and Reservist. I'm looking for veterans, active duty military personnel to join the 90 for Life Crusade to save America. She needs your skills, courage, and loyalty more than ever. Contact GCNteam.com. Because of the financial and healthcare collapse, veterans are currently struggling finding jobs. Frustrated looking for a job? Change your tactics. Join the 90 for Life Crusade to save America. Start a healthcare business with FDI Longevity 90 for Life Crusade. Contact GCNteam.com. www.ireshfreefile.com immediately. You're looking for military specialists who can use a computer and communicate information and execute a battle plan. Join the admirals, Navy SEALs, Marines, pilots, Army officers, military police, sheriffs, police officers, firemen, and first responders already enrolled in the 90 for Life Crusade. Contact GCNteam.com now. FDI Longevity will help you apply your military skills to the task of saving America through health and financial programs. Contact GCNteam.com. Enlist in GCNteam.com and save America.
Welcome back. Cannabis Talk H is the An Educational Odyssey, and Tahira is back with us. Tahira Ramatula is the author of a brand new book. It's such an important book, Waiting to Inhale. You say from the start, the war on drugs targeted black, brown, indigenous Americans already disadvantaged by a system stacked against them. Even now, this is just Waiting to Inhale is a story of the front lines of the war on drugs. And explain to us a little bit about that.
So this really where we start in the book is talking about the history of it. How did it even come to be? And most people don't really know, where did the DEA come from? What happened before then? And so it's really diving into some of that and sharing the stories of how that came to be. And, even that in itself is pretty interesting because it's not necessarily this very clear linear path. And then moving on to how those policies evolved over time, both from starting from the 1930s and then thinking about the Nixon administration, and then what it actually did to people who were involved with cannabis, who were those populations? And Frankie, as you pointed out, black, brown, indigenous populations, so we're talking about the U.S. and Canada, Asian populations, different groups were really saddled with different elements, different parts of the drug war, and it was used as a tool. It was used as a tool of social control, really. And over time, what we think is benefiting society at large was actually harming very distinct populations of people, because we're thinking about mass incarceration. If you look at the populations that are still sitting in jail today, who are predominantly there for crimes that are nonviolent, they're when they actually come back into society, there are no tools or resources for them. Families have grown up without family members, and there's no support for that. So recidivism is high when you think about people who come out of jail and then go back. And these tools were just continued to use for decades and decades. And now with the legalization of cannabis spreading across the country, you would think, or one would hope, that the people who had to serve time or were involved previously would have an opportunity to participate today for what things that are now legal, but they don't. And that has been a big issue as well within the industry, because those who have been advocates for cannabis specifically and, wanting to get people involved and have inclusion are the ones now that actually don't have access to the industry.
So I want to ask you, we went through this very bizarre time. And I always talk about my crazy expo East and West trade shows for the natural products industry. And when I first started doing this radio show, I had sponsors who did not want to participate in the show. I had a lot of people that were so disappointed in me. You can't imagine what happened just a few years back. And yet, then it started to become the CBD revolution, and every single company and their brothers was doing a CBD product. Hundreds and hundreds, to the point where they did a pre-expo CBD conference before the real conference, because there were so many CBD players. And fast forward, COVID hit. The flushing out of COVID has been so fascinating to me on a lot of businesses, but especially in the world of cannabis. Your thoughts on this?
Yeah, I mean, the evolution has been really interesting, and I agree with you. You know, there's just been such a influx of CBD in particular, and that was really around the 2018 Farm Bill. So because the Farm Bill allowed for hemp, and CBD is in much larger quantities in hemp, you know, then all of a sudden you're starting to see it everywhere. And, you know, to your point, everybody and their brother had a CBD product available. And then when COVID started, we saw this spike in the use, not the usage of cannabis or the acquisition of it. And it actually pushed forward a lot of initiatives that had been stalling, such as delivery, the option for delivery in a lot of places, because people were wanting to consume cannabis. You know, we're all going through this global pandemic. Nobody knows what to do with themselves. Unfortunately, we also saw, alcohol consumption rise at the beginning. But cannabis consumption also went up, and I think that there was the realization for a lot of people, the kind of calming element, the help with sleep. You know, there's a lot of stress and anxiety that was plaguing everyone. And so I think the willingness also to try something, because people were just at wit's end and not really understanding what they could do, how long this would last, what would happen. And then introducing some of those elements like delivery and other options really allowed for more accessibility during what was a very challenging time for everybody.
One of the things that I've noticed is the lack of diversity in the industry. I was just at the huge cannabis show, first time I went, in Las Vegas, by the MJ Biz group. It's not the suits anymore, because they're dressed differently, but it just seems like there's just so many men in this industry.
Definitely, and that aspect of it has been very interesting to watch evolve over time. You know, I came into the industry in 2014 at a time when there were still just Washington and Colorado had legalized, and other states had some medical policies, but it was still very small, and predominantly people who came from the legacy industry. So, you know, the former industry that really operated in the illegal market. And at that time, what was interesting is that the company that I worked for, where men did wear suits, if you walked into a conference wearing a suit, people thought that you were the FBI or the DEA or some kind of law enforcement agent. And then that became the norm, because so many people from finance and other industries were coming in, because those were the people who had the capital or had the ability to take this emerging market risk to come into a space that, you know, maybe you weren't getting a salary for a period of time, or you had to self-invest in whatever venture you were doing. And now it's become, you know, like, unfortunately, from my point of view, like every other industry, where it is predominantly led by white men. And that's an element of the book that we talk about as well, is just that the diversity has really struggled within the industry. And it's not just race, but also gender. You know, it's predominantly men. There are far fewer women at the helms of businesses or in leadership positions. And wanting to create space for all of these different groups is really important. I mean, one, to focus on the historical injustices that have happened because of the war on drugs. Two, for economic empowerment, you know, by providing opportunities for those who are harmed by the war on drugs, we can create this economic opportunity that can generate wealth in communities that have been historically disenfranchised. And cultural diversity is, quite frankly, just good business. The industry has the potential to benefit
from
such a diversity.
We're talking to Tahera Ramatula. She is the co-author of Waiting to Inhale. And we'll be back in just a moment. I'm Frankie Boyer, Cannabis Talk Agency, and Educational Odyssey. The book is available through MIT Press, and we'll be back in just a minute.
Don't be stressed out or anxious. Take Hempanol, the only raw CO2 hemp extract available. It's 100% organic with wild oregano P73 extract. You might have heard about CBD, but there's no comparison. Hempanol has the power and potency you need to support your nervous system, stay calm and focused, and maintain a healthy immune system. Unlike other CBD oils, Hempanol contains the full spectrum of phytocannabinoids. Take Hempanol and feel great. And if you suffer from insomnia and can't seem to get that full night's rest, try Hempanol PM. Hempanol PM is specifically formulated to get you the rest you need without feeling sluggish when you wake. It's non-addictive, completely natural, and leaves you feeling energetic and ready to take on the day. To place your order, to find out where to find Hempanol in your area, call 1-800-243-5242. 800-243-5242. Or visit us at oregano.com.
If you have an IRA or 401k, please listen closely. My name is Jason Hansen. I'm a former CIA officer and New York Times bestselling author. Throughout my career, let's just say I've been in some hairy situations. And I believe right now the biggest threat facing Americans is they need to protect their wealth, which is exactly what I'm doing for my wife and six kids. And I believe the ultimate safe haven is physical gold and silver. You can protect your hard-earned retirement assets with a tax-free loophole that allows you to convert your retirement into physical gold and silver. The folks I use are Advantage Gold, and believe me, I've investigated the heck out of all types of people. Advantage Gold is the nation's highest rated gold company. They have the best process, pricing, and service. If you want to get your free gold and silver investment kit, please contact Advantage Gold right now, and you'll see how easy it is to protect yourself with precious metals. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000. 800-900-8000.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Consult with your financial advisor before investing.
Call 800-900-8000.
I had no idea it would destroy my life. But before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers. There's only 4 days' worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now, before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to gcnfood.com. gcnfood.com.
G'day, I'm Jamel that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Youngevity at teamg'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at teamg'day.com and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your Youngevity business. TeamG'day.com. TeamG'day.com.
My name is Don Wiskin, and at 42 years old, I suffered a massive heart attack, lost 35% of my heart to damaged tissue, and was supposed to spend the rest of my life on disability. What did I do? I took Extendivite, a garlic and cayenne mix of seven herbs which rebuilt my heart and gave me back my life. For over 17 years now, I have made this formula available to you so you don't have to suffer the same thing I did. Clean your blocked arteries and strengthen your heart and boost your natural immune system. I'm 60 years old now and I still work every day. To get your Extendivite, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit heartdrop.com. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
We'll
Welcome back. It is Frankie Boyer with Tahera. And Tahera, welcome back, a partner at Highlands Venture Partners and co-founder and CEO of Commons. And you also are on the board of directors for the Last Prisoner Project. And you're referred to in the press as the most powerful woman in cannabis. Why do you think you got that title?
Oh, you know, I think I was just one of the earlier women in the space who was starting to show up in the same rooms as some of the men who were around. I have a background in finance and business operations, and so coming into the space, that's an area that I focused on and was fortunate to work on some early initiatives, an early brand, early kind of firsts in the industry. And I don't know if I necessarily deserve that title today, but at one point in time, there weren't that many women running around in the space, and I'm pleased to say that that has changed.
The Last Prisoner Project, it just saddens me to see that if you didn't have the right lawyer and you didn't have the savvy to understand the system, that you got stuck. You got stuck in a holding pattern that led to imprisonment. Where are these prisoners today? And how many of them are there in your opinion?
Well, I'll answer that second part because they're actually just, this is an ongoing conversation that we constantly have, is that sadly we're not totally sure what that number is, but the estimate could be 40 to 50,000 people who are impacted and still sitting in jail. There are other estimates that go even higher than that by tens of thousands of people. And so, unfortunately, the data is not, it's reporting that has to come from different agencies, and so it's not always the cleanest information, but we continue to refine that. But the Last Prisoner Project is, dedicated to making sure that no one should remain incarcerated for cannabis offenses. Obviously, there are some caveats to that, and that's something that the organization is very aware of. But they brought together a group of individuals who are impacted by it, policy and education experts, leaders on the criminal justice side and drug policy reform, to really try to make a difference and advocate for those people, help those people get out of prison. But, it's a very challenging process. And I think about, if I was in that position, would I even know what to do? And they're just working tirelessly to make sure that they free as many people as possible and give them resources after the fact as well to be able to reintegrate into society.
Oh, it's so, do we take for granted the freedoms that we've been given? Is this an example, a blatant example of how the wrong time and the freedoms that are around today?
I mean, when you think of some of the stories, some we highlight in the book, but there's so many more beyond that, that there are people who have gone to jail and have been given life sentences without parole for selling the equivalent of $20 worth of cannabis.
Yes.
A joint.
Yes.
I mean, you think about that, a life sentence for a joint that you can now buy anywhere in New York City.
How is that possible?
Exactly. How is it possible? And how is it that we don't have a way to expunge all of these records across the country in one fell swoop? And we don't. That's the problem. That's why an organization like Last Prisoner Project and so many other great organizations are emerging, because that's not the case. We don't make it easy. And we can't, how have we done this to hundreds and thousands of people who are sitting in jail for something that is benign? Absolutely. Do we take our freedoms for granted? Absolutely. Because these people are sitting in prison, and even when they come out, they're felons. They don't have rights often when they come out. Why do we think that this kind of culture of disenfranchisement continues? They don't have resources. They don't have education. You can't get jobs. You can't vote. You can't get a mortgage. What are you going to do? These are parts of different policies that we really need to understand and change in order for people to be in society, and how can we not allow them to even be engaged in the industry that they were involved with long before anybody today who is probably making millions was involved with?
I think it should be, I think it's disgusting that every cannabis owner is not fighting for these people in prison. I really do. I think it should be like a built-in given that if you have the right to open up a license, to open up a shop, a dispensary, that some of that money needs to go toward those prisoners getting out of jail. Should be mandatory.
Absolutely.
I mean, it really should be. And we as Americans should be appalled.
Yeah, that is something that Akwasi and I, as we were thinking about how do we raise awareness and how do we really bring these stories forward, you know, one thing that kept coming to mind for us is that people should know this because they should be outraged. They should be outraged that this is what
Absolutely.
Has happened, and it's still happening. And only
still
with
happening.
That, I'm not, people should, you know, take to the streets and get violent, but people should know that this is what is happening and use their voices and their resources to change it at all levels. It's not just a one size fits all. You know, if you fix this one thing, it's not going to correct everything. We need to put in place tools that will correct what we have done in the past. We have to, because these people, these populations, there's nothing for them to do themselves. We've made it so difficult, both at, you know, legal level, political, from a business perspective. And so one thing that we do talk about is just how do we pay it forward and create the opportunity? And, you know, frankly, what you're saying is every cannabis store business owner should make it part of it. We also talk about how it should be part of every state's policy. So every new
it should be,
state
yes.
that comes online, some kind of social equity.
Well, they're taxing. You know, the irony of it all is that they're taxing these cannabis organizations to the limit. I mean, beyond reasonable, everybody. They're paying beyond what any other business would pay. So take that money and pay it forward, because having them in prison is costing all of us dearly, and it's ruining so many lives and families. That's the insidiousness of it all.
Yeah, and one interesting element of that is, you know, you bring up how much it's costing all of us. People don't realize that with all of our taxpayer money that's going to imprisonment instead of going to social services, you know, hospitals, schools. And what New York State has done, which we'll see how it plays out. It hasn't necessarily played out the way we would hope so far, but it's still early, is that they have an allocation for tax money that comes in the way that it'll be allocated back to communities that have been harmed by the war on drugs. So, you know, there's an element there where you have this social equity cannabis fund that will actually think about that landscape. But everybody needs to be doing that. It should be a no-brainer. It shouldn't be something that comes, you know, 10 years down the path. It has to be there from day one, and it has to be part of the narrative, because people need to understand why it's happening and what has happened and where dollars are going. What do you want to support? Everything that we're paying for, what do you want to support? You want to support more people in jail, more enforcement of minority populations, or for the services that can benefit the strength and growth of the communities that we live in?
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Absolutely. Absolutely. I have a question for you that I'd love for you to answer when we come back. We have to get ready for a break. There are many books that talk about the medicinal benefits of cannabis. You don't really get into that with this book. And I'd love to know some of the background behind it. And then I really want to talk about the addiction piece of the story that very few people talk about. And I think one that I think we need to talk about. We really, truly need to talk about it. We'll continue I can't believe how quickly this hour has gone. We're talking today for the full hour with Jehera Ramatula. The new book is out. She co-authored it. It is called Waiting to Inhale, Cannabis Legislation. Stay tuned. This is Cannabis Talk A to Z, an educational odyssey with Frankie Boyer. We'll be right back.
My name is Peter, founder of Ruby Bees. I developed a product to help my daughter, Ruby. She suffers from cerebral palsy. She suffers from seizures. She can't talk, communicate, or feed herself. We developed a product that has helped mitigate her seizures. Using sweet and delicious clover honey infused with hemp-derived CBD, I developed Ruby Bees. She takes 2 honey sticks in the morning, 2 honey sticks at night, and she's been seizure-free for 4 years. To learn more about our journey and our products, please visit rubybees.com. Again, that's rubybees.com. Again, that's rubybees.com.
All Ruby Bees products are made with hemp-derived isolate and are third-party lab tested to contain 0% THC.
Wellness and self-care doesn't have to be complicated. So keep it simple and take good care of yourself with Sunny Bay Heating Pads. Our heating pads soothe pains in the neck, back, and shoulders while relaxing muscles and increasing blood circulation. Sunny Bay Heating Pads have always been made in the USA and hand-filled to perfection with the highest quality materials. Sunny Bay Heating Pads are the perfect wellness gift for loved ones or yourself. See all of our high-quality products at sunny-bay.com, including heated body pads, neck pillows, heated neck and body wraps, and our stress-reducing lavender line. They're all affordable, durable, and in stock now and ready for immediate shipping direct from sunny-bay.com. Read our trusted, authentic, and real reviews at sunny-bay.com or just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pad. To your good health and wellness from Sunny Bay.
Do you need to get your hands on some extra money right now? Maybe $25,000 or more? If you're a homeowner, now is a perfect time to get cash out while homes in many neighborhoods like yours have gone up in value. You can use the money for anything. It's yours. You can buy an investment property, pay off higher interest debt, or make home improvements. If you need $25,000, $50,000, or more, now is the time. Home values are up, and so is your equity. We offer you a way to use it. No need to use your savings. Call New American Funding now and see how much cash out you can get. Call 800-721-2477. 800-721-2477. 800-721-2477. That's 800-721-2477. NMLS 6606. www.nmlsconsumeraccess.org. This is not an offer or commitment to lend. Subject to borrower and property qualifications. Not all borrowers will qualify. Terms and conditions apply. Equal housing opportunity.
No matter where you live, what you make, or who you voted for, there are some things that will impact all of us soon. Whether you're concerned about extreme weather, the alarming increase in man-made disasters, or worsening food shortages, Americans are preparing in numbers not seen since World War II. What's changed is how we prepare. And the folks at My Patriot Supply have made it easier than ever for you to have peace of mind, knowing you're ready for what's next. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and stock up on their popular 3-month emergency food kit. They include tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners with over 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one kit per person. For a limited time, save $200 plus get free shipping on your 3-month supply at MyPatriotSupply.com. Too many Americans are being let down by institutions we used to trust. It's time to rely on ourselves. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com now. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
Welcome back. It is Frankie Boyer. This is Cannabis Talk Agency and Educational Odyssey. And what an hour we have had. I just said to Tahira, I can't believe how quickly it's gone by. Tahira Ramatula is with us today. Her new book is out. It is called Waiting to Inhale. Tell us a little bit about your co-author and his connection. It's so fascinating how he is so much involved in the addiction world.
Yeah, Kwasi is a very, very impressive person. And, you know, I was just thrilled at the opportunity to work with him and learn from him throughout this process. He's a professor in the Department of Sociology at the University of Toronto. He's a senior fellow at Massey College. And he's an affiliate scientist at the Center for Addiction and Mental Health. And it has really focused a lot of research on those elements as well as cannabis amnesty. His focus has been around the intersections of race, crime, criminal justice, and it's been fascinating to really learn so much from him throughout this process as we've been, you know, working on the book, because I don't think people realize how all of these pieces, all of these, you know, race, crime, all of that is really intertwined. And I think we're seeing that a lot more today, you know, particularly around addiction and mental health. And it's been, you know, it's something that we don't get to dive into that much in the book. There's a lot that had to be left on the cutting room floor, but it's something that I hope we can talk more about.
My question to you is, I truly believe that addicts can be addicted to anything. And so even though many that I interview on this program say that cannabis is not addictive, I want to know what your thoughts are, you and your partner on this book. What do you think, your co-author?
Well, I think we have discussed, you know, the reality is, to your point, Frankie, you can be addicted to anything. And that is the truth. There are people who are addicted to sugar, to caffeine, to, you know, adventure, you name it. So it's certainly not something that we say that, you know, you cannot get addicted. There are people who will say that you cannot, but my belief in Akwasi as well is that there are elements of addiction for anything, and cannabis included. What we don't have is any research that shows addictive qualities of cannabis in the same way that, you know, even sugar and caffeine are sometimes shown to be more addictive. However, I'm a firm believer that everything needs to be in moderation no matter what it is, because addiction is pretty widespread. And, you know, I think we just assume that it's something like heroin or cocaine or something along those lines, but it's not. And too much of anything can be challenging for you. So certainly not coming from a position that cannabis should be consumed all day, every day in lieu of anything else.
I know that with alcohol, it runs in the genes. And I'm wondering if there's any evidence and if anything was studied in Israel or Spain, because they're the leading pioneers in the studies of a family gene that could possibly tie over when it comes to the world of cannabis.
You know, we haven't seen that much research around it, even out of Israel, but I think that these are all coming, because now that we have more availability, even for the testing element of it, to be able to do the studies to see if there is any passage from one family member to the next. I mean, the reality is that the research element is still pretty new. You know, Israel is really the leader on that front. Other countries have been trying to do more, but hands are tied to some degree because of the legality elements and what you're actually able to access or not. So we don't have any research that I have seen yet that shows us that, but I do firmly believe that it's something that is needed, and I do think it will come over time. We also just don't have enough of a population base really to show that just yet. You know, some people still won't admit about their consumption, and so we're still working on the stigma element of being able to share that this is something that people are using regularly in their lives.
You write about real people in your book who have really made an impact on you. Can you just share? We don't have a whole lot of time, but a quick story or two.
Yeah, so one happy to share about Michael Thompson, who was serving a ridiculous amount of time in prison, and you know, he was had a whole life ahead of him, and then was picked up for a cannabis transaction in Michigan, and then ended up serving several decades in prison, and really his cannabis crime led to police using buns as a way to get more time for Michael in prison. And you know, he's someone that his story is heartbreaking. You know, his mother died while he was in prison. He missed decades of his children's life, and he was released a few years ago because nobody should be. I mean, Michigan is legal. So what he went to jail for doesn't even exist anymore, but he was in there for decades and decades, and now, you know, he's in his 60s and trying to restart life, and just hearing what led to that happening and how he's trying to get back on his feet and also advocate for others who were in a position like he was, because now he's on this side and he is seeing what is happening. You know, that transition to life outside of prison is not easy. And so wanting to help those serving time for things that happened to him, and as well as those who are coming out. Another woman is Evelyn LaChapelle. She was in prison for assisting in trafficking. You know, she had a young daughter, was able to get out of prison, but devastating. You know, the time that she was in there, her ability to get jobs now, she was well-educated, had a whole life ahead of her, and now is working in the cannabis industry, has her own brand. She's been part of the Last Prisoner Project, and just being able to hear from people who are actual constituents.
Nice. Yes, yes, yes. This has been such a treat having you with us today, Tahira. Really, it's just amazing, Tahira Ramatula. The book is available, MIT Press, and it is such an important book, Waiting to Inhale. And real quickly, the best way people can get the book, Amazon, wherever books are sold?
Yeah, you can get it at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Penguin Random House, all three of those locations, all those websites host the book.
Wonderful. Thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you.
And thank you all. This has been another edition of Cannabis Talk A to Z, an educational odyssey with Frankie Boyer. Thanks for listening. Make it a great day, everybody. And as always, smile.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com.